Well, happy Mother's Day to you this morning. This week, in preparation for the morning, I went online. Went online to find the best dictionary definition of the word mother. I wanted a definition that would not just approach the word technically, not just give the meaning, but also explain the word a little. You know, it took a little bit of looking, but I believe I found it. According to one source, the word mother is defined as female person bearing children who does the work of 20 for free. See also selfless, indispensable, simply amazing. Moms, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you continue to do it. I can tell you from experience, I don't know how she does it. But this morning, I want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Mother's Day to you moms, to everyone this morning. If you've happened to take a glance at the title of the sermon today, that's it. Our text is going to come from Luke, the first chapter, verses 28 to 38. So if you look at this scripture and you take it in a little bit, it kind of makes that wish for you not only a very merry, M-E-R-R-Y, Mother's Day, but also a very M-A-R-Y, Mother's Day as well. There she goes. What's lost has been found. Moms, I don't know how you do it. Why am I wishing you a Mother's Day in the context of Mary? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, rest assured, don't worry, it's not that I'm claiming your calling will be anything like hers. That might be a bit of a relief, right? But as I began preparing my message for this morning, I decided to sort of focus in on a text that we use often around another holiday, around another time of celebration. This text from Luke. You know, around the time we traditionally celebrate the birth of Christ in December. So I have a disclaimer for you this morning. This is not Christmas in May. Not Christmas in May. So if you came on Christmas and you're thinking, well, I've already heard this, hopefully you have not. Let's dig into the first chapter of Luke, verses 28 to 38. As we do this morning, I'd like for you to think about the response of one of the most blessed mothers of all time, as the text calls her. I want you to think what your response in her situation, if you were in her shoes, would be in our text. What if this was you? What would you do? No matter who you are this morning, I think we can all learn from Mary in this text. My prayer is that after our time together, we will leave this place and indeed have a very merry Mother's Day in the Lord. Would you go with me to that little town called Nazareth 2,000 years ago? Luke chapter 1, verse 28. It's on the backs of your bulletins as well. And he is the angel of the Lord, came to her, this is of course Mary here, and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Text continues, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' and the angel departed from her. How does Mary respond? How does Mary respond to being a mother? The news. Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word." What would you do? What would you have said if you had been her? Would you respond like Mary? We don't often spend a lot of time thinking about the selfless, indispensable, simply amazing qualities of Mary, the mother of Jesus, but they show through this text. I think we can go so far as to think of Mary, as one commentator does, as a beautiful model for all moms. Have you ever read this account in the first chapter of Luke and thought, Mary, the mother of Jesus, now this is who I want to be like? This is who I want to be like. Or do you think I'm way off base here? Let's dig deeper. Let's discuss a few ways our text describes Mary in this manner as a model, not just for moms, but for all of us. First, this morning, when we look at the text, what's the first thing we recognize about Mary? Mary is discerning. She's discerning. She recognizes what is an amazing call from the Lord for her life because she is a discerning person. Text tells us so there, verse 29. Discerning is an adjective from the old French discerner, meaning to distinguish between or separate. As an example, let me give you an example. My wife picks out my ties in the morning because she has discerning fashion sense. Well, I just know how to find my t-shirt and jeans. Discerning. Similarly, our text tells us in verse 29 that Mary is spiritually discerning. When Gabriel comes to Mary, the dialogue begins. Verse 28, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Verse 29, Mary is spiritually discerning, isn't she? Mary is greatly troubled by this. And I'm sure you're thinking, yeah? Greatly troubled is perhaps the nicest way the gospel writer could have put it. I bet she's scared to death. But Scripture tells us in verse 29 that Mary tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. That's where she goes. You know, if an angel came and visited me one morning on this long commute I have to the office, and this joke will never get old. I'm going to milk that one for all it's worth. As often as I can. I'd be wondering about the meal I just ate down the road. Wouldn't you? One commentator notes, we might get puffed up, arrogant. Mary doesn't. Mary continues to show over the course of this conversation that she's able to distinguish what comes from God and what doesn't. The dialogue continues. After Gabriel reveals to her that she's going to be a mother, give birth to a child, and not just any child, but baby Jesus, the Son of the Most High, Mary again responds, not in shock and horror or in pride, but inquisitively. She wants to know how in the world it's going to happen. How in the world is this going to happen? Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And as Gabriel responds, the angel responds not only by saying it's a God thing, and in fact not just an everyday miraculous God thing, but the most miraculous God thing in all of human history. And here's a frame of reference you'll recognize. Your cousin Elizabeth, she shouldn't be able to bear a child, but she's going to anyway, because nothing is impossible with God. And you, Mary, shouldn't be able to bear a child either, but you are going to anyway, because nothing is impossible with God. Mary's response in verse 38 signifies her understanding. She knows who she's talking to. She knows what she's dealing with. Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Our text tells us much about Mary's ability to spiritually distinguish, to discern, doesn't it? A discerning person. Think about this, even years after the fact. You might guess Mary would have had to have been a discerning person to be a young mother of a baby who was born perfect and would stay that way. Think about that. Think about the family dynamics you've experienced growing up as a grown-up with your children, as a grown-up with your siblings. Now imagine the person on the other end of that relationship is totally and completely without sin in every way. Would that be difficult? I know that there are some that will teach that Jesus was an only child and Mary and Joseph never had any children together, but Scripture tells us that they did. And this does not take away our understanding of the person of Mary. In fact, it reminds us that she was one of us. Matthew 13:55 tells us Jesus had four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Verse 56 in that chapter tells us that Jesus had sisters. Mark 3:31, Luke 8:19, John 7, Acts 1:14, and Galatians 1:19 are all additional Bible passages that give us a word in the original Greek text specifically pertaining to a brother by blood. And this last passage, Galatians 1:18, points us to James, who ends up writing his own book testifying to Jesus as the Christ. But I want you to think back to those family situations. Think back to them that you had as a child with your siblings and parent. Maybe you have now with your children. Maybe you have now with your siblings. Tell me how easy the going would have been to have your very first child born. He's the oldest and he's perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. And then along comes the little siblings and they are definitely not perfect in every way. Your oldest was Jesus and now comes all these other kids. I love my oldest daughter, Emmeline. I love her nearly and dearly, but I'm thankful Emmeline came first. I'm thankful she came first because as a baby, Emmeline was gassy, she was fussy, and it seems she could never get enough to eat. In comparison, Hannah, our second daughter, was a breeze. You couldn't hardly get Hannah to speak up when she was little, let alone yell her head off. Think of Mary and Joseph. Poor Mary and Joseph had to have Jesus come first. Man. And I'm sure baby Jesus cried when he was hungry, but I doubt when he was older that he cried incessantly if he didn't get his way. He was without sin. I'm just hearing Mary a few years after this visit around the house. She's upset at James. James, why can't you just be good like your older brother? I don't think the family dynamics would have been a breeze. I think having this family would have taken a person with an awful lot of discernment. Awful lot of discernment. Maybe there's a reason why we get this scriptural gap in the life of Christ. You know, we don't know much from the time he's 12 to the time he's about 30. I'm guessing maybe there was just a few rough incidents happening for old James, you know? But seriously, as one author at desiringgod.org puts it, Mary was a personal mother to Jesus. Jesus was her human son. All the hugs, all the kisses, all the love that we pour on our children, Mary did this with Jesus. But Mary had the privilege and the heavy responsibility of parenting a perfect, in the fullest sense of the word, child along with the other children. Think about the wisdom and the temperance a mother in that situation needs. You know, I think we can look and learn a little bit more about being discerning people when we look at the example of Mary and this young family that she had. Even before she gave birth to Jesus, Mary recognized the Lord in her family. She recognized the Lord in her life every step of the way. Are we people of discernment as well? And if you're wondering how young Mary could be a person of godly discernment, well, our scripture tells us Mary had knowledge of scripture. Mary knows Scripture. This is the second way our text describes her to us as a model for moms, a model for others. Mary knows God's Word, so she's therefore able to recognize God's call in her life. Immediately after our story, immediately after the story in this text takes place, we get a glimpse of that knowledge. We see it. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth in the Spirit confirms to Mary in verse 43 that Mary is again the mother of the Lord, so to speak. No coincidence that she says that. She's speaking with the Holy Spirit. Mary responds to Elizabeth in such a fashion that proves she's a student of the Word. In fact, Luke chapter 1, if you open that up in your Bibles to verses 46 to 55, this is what we call Mary's song. Mary's song nearly sounds like it's taken from the book of Psalms. Nearly sounds. It's very similar in its tone. You might just skim through it quickly if you happen to have your Bibles open. See, Mary knows. Mary knows. She understands who she is in the grand scheme of things, in God's plan, at least up until this point. I don't think Mary understands. I don't think she gets all the ramifications of being Mary, the mother of Jesus, but she does know and believe, verse 46 and 47, that she magnifies the Lord, that her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior. She understands, Luke 1:50, that God's mercy is for those who fear Him generation to generation, and that He has helped His servant Israel, verse 54. One author comments, many times in the Gospels, we read about Mary observing and pondering, marks of a deep, thoughtful woman. And although Mary was young and she was poor, she was by no means uneducated. She was not an uneducated person. She knew her scriptures. She knew her scriptures. So Mary could be humble. Mary could be joyful. Mary could be the very best mother because Mary knew where she fit in. As Scripture pointed to the coming of the Lord, so could she point the way to the coming of the Lord. It's so much easier to breathe easy in God's plan for your life when you've read something about it, isn't it? When you've read the book. When you've been there. See, I think we too could be humble. I think we too could be joyful. We too could be the very best mothers, the very best fathers, if only we knew where we fit in. If only we realized, as Scripture points the way to Jesus, so can we. But I think too often we're proud, we're unhappy. We miss out on Christ's presence in our families because we're more concerned about what our society is telling us, what our culture says, what somebody on the news says, what somebody on Facebook thinks. As parents, I know I can speak from my own experience that sometimes we base our actions on the wrong information, don't we? It's easy to do that. Found an interesting blog this week at parenting.com. One blogger writes the following under the title of The Modern Mother. I thought this was interesting. My mother-in-law told me, quote, "We had it much easier in my day. I pondered this as I went to the refrigerator and pulled out the organic soy milk next to the organic free-range natural eggs and the hormone-free, organic, cruelty-free chicken breasts. As my children played with their non-toxic natural wood educational toys that were not under any circumstances made in China or contaminated with lead paint. We prepared to leave to do the drop-off at various enrichment activities so that my children will not lag significantly behind their more prepared peers. I sigh deeply and wish that I had started language lessons earlier with my toddlers because now they will never go to Ivy League. As we leave and my children put on their hand-woven sweatshop-free clothing and we get into our hybrid vehicle, as I make sure that each child has their own bottle of water, but not one made of plastic, I understand what my mother-in-law was talking about. In her day, 50 years ago, there were not the choices and options open to mothers. You just took care of your children. You just took care of them. As a modern father, I have to say when I read this, there's a lot there that really speaks to me. I think this modern mother is perhaps right in her observation. There's a lot of loud voices everywhere these days, aren't there? It's tough to know. It's tough to know who to listen to. It's tough to know. I discovered that while on vacation a few weeks back. We went down to Tennessee. I was asked if my vehicle had 5.1 surround sound. Let me tell you something. When you have three kids, every vehicle has 5.1 surround sound. Lots of loud voices coming from all corners of the Ford Flex. The 50 years ago, we didn't have 550 channels. 750 friends on Facebook telling you what was best for your children. What do we have? We have the Word of God. So what's changed? Not this. Priorities, right? How much better would our relationships at home be? How much less stressful would our day in, day out lives be if we quit worrying about what everybody else says is bad for us and started thinking more about what the Bible says is good for us? I'm not saying that we should give the kids poisonous crayons, but I'm just asking, where do our loyalties lie? Where are our priorities? Are we more concerned about the good life or the God life? Is it more about our story or God's story? You know, Mary, when I look at Mary, this discerning woman that knew her scriptures, I see a woman that knew her story was a part of God's story because she'd been following it. She'd kept up with the action. There was no mistake in where her energies would lie, where her dedication was. For her, it was right back to God. One commentator writes, "The Mary moments in the New Testament point to Jesus. Mary's song, Mary's encounter with Jesus in the temple, Mary's intervention at the wedding, all the way to Mary at the cross and Mary with the earliest believers in Jerusalem. Every time these scenes lead us to Jesus. The mission of Mary in her life was to witness to the glory of her Son." What about us? What's our mission? Is it to lead our children, our parents, our extended family members to the self-help section, or to Jesus? Instead of saying, maybe I'm a Dr. Phil statistic, have you ever thought maybe I'm part of God's story? I guess it's true, as they say, when all else fails, read the instructions. Mary knew what they said, and she had the peace to respond accordingly. And finally this morning, what we see in Mary is we see a woman who is submissive to God. She's submissive to God. This is the reason why, as Matthew Henry puts it, we ought to praise God for her, as Elizabeth did. Mary had discernment because she knew her scriptures, and she therefore responded submissively to the God behind them. The commentary continues, "Mary's submission is a contented yielding of a faith-filled young woman whose trust in God was deep." Trust in God, not society and culture at the time. Keep this in mind. This poor young virgin in the first chapter of Luke has just been told that she will become pregnant in a culture where the penalty for that under her circumstances was stoning to death. But Mary doesn't argue with what is going to happen, with what is going to take place. You know, Mary didn't even say to the angel, whoa, I didn't ask for this. Hold on. She could have. We probably wouldn't have blamed her if she did. But she says, "Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. We see a definite Christ-like attitude in Christ's earthly mother long before we even get to Christmas time at Bethlehem. Because Mary was submissive to God, just as her son, the Son of God, would be submissive to God. And this shows through the actions Mary takes in her relationship with Joseph during all of their travels, whether it's to Bethlehem or to Egypt and back, Matthew 2:13. If you consider this part of the story, when they go to Egypt and back, and you realize this is a dream Joseph had. Now, Mary is the one who had the visit from Gabriel, not Joseph. And yet Mary is submissive to God. She's submissive to God's plan no matter how it unfolds, her or her husband. DesiringGod.org says the following, "Mary has much to teach all people of all ages, of all situations, as well as being a model for mothers, because her trust in God is content. It's unyielding." We see this. We see this throughout the course of the life of Christ. That angelic visit announcing the birth in Luke 1, up through the angelic visit announcing Christ's resurrection. The end of Luke, Luke 24. She's constant. She's constantly yielding to the Father throughout her entire life's journey with the Son. Her Son. How do you like that? This morning, we've gone from Christmas to Easter all in one sermon, and you got to hear it on Mother's Day. Just wait for Father's Day. We're going to do the rest of the Bible there. But you know, I was thinking earlier this week how we often hear this preached, we often hear this message around December 25, and you know, I was thinking how this last year, just like today on Mother's Day, I really didn't want to preach on the woman from Proverbs 31. Didn't want to go that route. Seemed too obvious. Didn't like those expectations for Mother's Day. So I decided that I would turn expectations upside down maybe a little. So get ready this December for a month-long series on that woman from Proverbs. No. But we do often read this scripture. We hear this, don't we? And we hurry past Mary. We just seem to get past her account, her response in this narrative from Luke. You know, and by rights, you know, I understand why we do. We can't help it. We want to get to the free gift of Jesus, as we should. But my prayer today on this Mother's Day is that we've stopped for maybe just a few moments and not missed out on this person to whom this angelic announcement was delivered, because Mary was quite a mother. She trusted God. She trusted God in her motherhood before that even started. Even when his plan for her motherhood seemed impossible, Mary trusted God because she knew that all things are possible with God. Luke 1:37. I love that part of our text. All things are possible with God. Luke 1:42 says Mary was blessed. She was a real model for moms. How did she respond to the gift of Jesus in her life? For all of us here this morning, how will you respond likewise to the gift of Jesus in your life? In discernment, in the Word, and in submissiveness to God is my prayer. I wish you all a very merry, M-A-R-Y, Mother's Day. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your Word. Your Word gives us all the circumstances. Gives us these situations that we might look and say, this is impossible. Gives us these circumstances that perhaps in a different way we can relate. And then, Lord, your Word tells us that this is possible. All things are possible with you in your plan. Lord, I pray that we learn to be people who are discerning. Because, Lord, we know your Word and it's made us submissive to you. I pray, Lord, that we don't miss parts of your Word, that we don't leave them out. But that we allow it all to fill us. And that we remember year-round the sacrifice that you made in the way you did it. Perfect. Lord, we thank you for coming down here and living with us for just a little while. And in that while, showing us submissiveness. Showing us yielding. Showing us the way to live. And Lord, I pray that this example that we have in the Scripture of a yielding heart would be the kind of heart we want to have too. We thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. And it is in his name I pray these things. Amen. And so this morning, as we wind up our celebration here this morning on Mother's Day, I pray that if the Lord's been calling at you, if that free gift has been knocking at your door, if this is the day that you want to come forward and make make that commitment to Him, that you would have the courage to do that. Whether it's a immersion into Christ, whether it's a transfer of membership, if this is the day that the Lord's calling you forward, we invite you to do that as we stand and we sing hymn 333, His Way with Thee.